Everybody's starting to sweat. See baby shaking her hair, hands swinging up in the air. Hips are starting to move, I think she likes this groove. It looks like more than a dance, I think she's in a trance. Came here looking all steamy, now she's got funk in her face.
This afternoon, I welcome the opportunity to speak with Bernard Fowler about the release of his new CD entitled The Bura. This CD is the second solo project from the renowned singer, songwriter, producer, and percussionist, best known for providing percussion and backing vocals with the Rolling Stones for over 25 years on recordings and tours. His dynamic vocals have appeared on hundreds of albums for bands as diverse as Herbie Hancock, John Mayer, Rod Stewart, Duran Duran, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Michael Bublé, Philip Glass, Yoko Ono, Alice Cooper, the Neville Brothers, and many more. Bernard is well known as a superb vocalist, bringing a realness to everything he sings, which he brings to this new CD, The Bura. From the opening track, inviting the listener to shake it, baby, to the soothing driving home to you, his voice is pure, intense, heartfelt, and deeply authentic. No studio magic here, just pure vocals that engage you from the first note. Bernard Fowler, welcome to WDIY.
Thank you, Taya.
So congratulations on the release of this CD. Tell us a little bit about choosing that title.
I was doing some solo dates and I was traveling around Croatia. As we were going through a tunnel, the guy that was driving pulled over on the side of the road, and I didn't know why, and I asked him, why did you stop? And he said, because of the lights. And I was, well, what does the lights mean? He said, the Buddha. And I said, what the hell is a Buddha? And he said, wait 1 second. This gust of wind came and started to move the van. He looked at me and said, that's a small Buddha. It's a hurricane-force wind that blows off the Adriatic Sea. I love the way the word sound. It was quite an experience. So when I was looking for a title for the name of the record, up came the Buddha.
I agree. I think it's a really interesting word. It's kind of fun to pronounce in one's mouth. And I like the idea that it maybe represents this fierce force that you're bringing to the music.
I didn't think about it then, but it does make a lot of sense now.
The CD has a fabulous array of stellar musicians from New York to L.A. to Hawaii, all making great music with you. How did you pull them all together?
Very difficult. It was very difficult. It wasn't easy by any means. People have things to do. They have their own lives and their own careers. So I was lucky enough to be able to get them in their not-so-busy moment. I was very lucky to get them all.
At the opening of today's show, I played the first track, Shake It. I'm wondering what you might have to say about what you think might make that track just so darn appealing.
I guess it would have to be the groove. I think, just the word shake it. That's enough to get people moving or just get them interested.
I hope our listeners enjoyed listening to that at the opening of the show, and I'm sure they were up and dancing around right along with me. Another favorite of mine is your turning the letter into a reggae rendition. What inspired that?
When I'm at doing gigs sometimes, a lot of times they're different musicians. I need to keep it fresh. I add songs. I've always liked that song, and so I used to do it live, and I didn't want to do it the way the Mad Dogs and the Englishmen did it, or the original artist, the Box Tops. So I just kept thinking about it, and I thought, well, let me try to put a reggae groove on it. It worked, and, you know, that seems to work a lot for me. You know, whenever I'm trying to do someone else's song, I toss it around in different ways, and tossing that song around in a reggae form, it seemed to work really good, so it was a keeper for me.
I noticed also that you had Doug Wimbish on a really cool bass groove on that song. That was very fun to hear.
Oh, yes. Doug is my go-to guy. I love him, and we've been making music together for a long time. I think I met Doug around 85. We were both part of Mick Jagger's first solo tour. We were part of the band for his first solo tour, so that's where I actually met Doug. We've gone on to do a lot of musical things. After I'd met him, I actually joined the band Taxhead and moved to London with him and Taxhead. And we've done a lot of really cool things together.
Here's the letter. I couldn't help notice that Lisa Fisher joined forces with you on this CD. When did you and Lisa first sing together?
Well, I've known Lisa for a very long time. I knew Lisa quite a few years before we actually sang together. We actually sang a note together. I think the first time that we actually sang together was probably the early 80s. She had been singing for Luther Vandross for a lot of years. They were looking for another voice. I went to audition for Luther Vandross, and of course Lisa was there. I think at that audition was the very first time that she and I sang together. I have been singing for the, you know, when we're not doing our own thing, we're blessed enough to be part of the Rolling Stones family, and so we do a lot of singing there. I think if I've been singing with the Stones for, 28 years, Lisa's been there 26. Or 27, something like that. We've been part of the family for a long time. I love her so much. Singing with the Rolling Stones is not an easy job. I'd hate to do it with anyone else except Lisa.
It certainly looks like the two of you have something very special in terms of big smiles every time you're performing together. You really bring great energy to the show.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of love there.
So one thing that I think, and I'm sure many will agree, that really seems to set you apart is your versatility. There aren't many singers who are capable of expertly singing jazz, for example, on the jazz albums you recorded with Charlie Watts, and then also singing rock and roll and funk. And I've heard you described as being able to hear for miles with an ability to add things to music, adjusting your voice in ways few, if any, singers can do, even as a background vocalist. So singing is, I guess, about blending, not necessarily sticking out. And
that's right.
Your amazing range, I'm happy to say, is certainly reflected in this wonderful CD, The Buddha.
I think now musicians live it's a great time for musicians. Maybe not business-wise, but creatively, it's a great time. When I was coming up, it was the record execs that were in charge. They can say from saying that most execs have never even been on stage and never even sang in a microphone. I think probably half of them never wrote a song. And they were the ones that dictated to the artists what they could and couldn't do. So in that sense, we live in a good time, because there was a time that you needed a record company. You needed a record company to record. You needed a record company to make a record. Things have changed. It was important to me that, or it is important to me that, when I do a solo record, that all the music reflects who I am, what I am, and what I've learned over the years. And a little piece of everything that I've done, a little piece of it has always stuck. So I love a lot of different kind of music. When I was doing The Buddha, there were people that said to me, no, you can't put this song and that song on the same record. I had to ask why. Oh, because it needs to all tie together. At which point I say, I tie it all together. So, you know, I heard that noise in my ear and I ignored it. Too many times you can put on a record, you can pretty much see where it's going, what that record is going to be. It's, for lack of a better word, it's most records, especially rock records, seem to be one-dimensional. So The Buddha, I think, is 3-4 dimensions. There's something on The Buddha for everybody. And if you listen, like I said, I tie it all together. I tie it all together. It's not as wide as my first solo record. I did hone it in a bit. It's a guitar-oriented record. I love guitar. That's why it's so much guitar on the record. And that's the predominant instrument throughout the record, is guitar. So I like to call this record, it's a rock record with seasoning. It's got a special sauce on it.
And I guess your collaboration with Robert Davis, being a guitarist and your co-collaborator, also influenced the making of the music on this record.
Robert Davis absolutely did. There's maybe 3 or 4 songs that Robert actually brought the groove to me. And there's maybe one song that Robert had from his past with his old band that he had been signed with, and this was stuff that he had left over, and some of it I liked, some of it I didn't like. We played and listened to a lot of stuff, and the things that I really love, we took them and we reshaped them, and I added lyrics and melodies to them, and they became what they are.
The next question I'd like to explore with you is talking about that special sauce and seasoning. I read that earlier this year you were in Cuba, where you said you enjoyed visiting because you grew up listening to salsa music, and in particular, the article that I read, you mentioned Mongo Santamaria, the Afro-Cuban Latin percussionist, as many of us know, is famous for composing Afro Blue. And mm-hmm. I'm going to play a little bit of that track later in today's show. But I wonder, in the meantime, if you might elaborate on his percussive influences or other percussive influences early in your career.
His influence came from the radio. It came from the radio, and it came from my neighborhood. I grew up in Queensbridge. Queensbridge Projects, that a lot of people probably recognize that name because the rapper Nas is from Queensbridge. As a matter of fact, I watched him grow up. I've known Nas since he was a little boy, and his father and I were on some of the same sessions. His father was a cornet player by the name of Oludara. That neighborhood was predominantly black and Puerto Rican. In the summertime, the guys would get their drums and they'd go to the park and they'd be playing and drinking beer from sun up to sundown. We woke up hearing drums. We went to sleep hearing drums. That's also the time when both blacks and Puerto Ricans used to go out to clubs and dance salsa. It was a very interesting time. And because of that, I heard Mongo Santa Maria, Eddie Palmieri, Joe Bataan, Ray Barreto. I grew up listening to all that kind of stuff. And my brother was a huge salsa fan, my older brother, and he would bring those records home. Thanks to him and thanks to the neighborhood, I have a real appreciation for that. It's in my blood. I hear that. I hear those drums, and I want to dance.
You and me both. Where can folks find the Buddha?
Wherever records are sold, iTunes, Amazon. I'm sure some record stores, if you can find one, will have it. And also, I think in another month, the vinyl version of the Buddha will be ready for purchase, which is important that it gets to vinyl, because I recorded it the way that we used to record. I recorded it to 2-inch tape, which nowadays not a lot of people are doing, but I hear it's becoming more and more, because when I went to buy the tape, the guy told me, he said, "Man, I'm having trouble keeping it in stock." And I thought, wow, that's a good thing. And also, I've heard that the pressing plants are backed up 5-6 months. So I'm hoping there is a resurgence of vinyl, so people like us can read the album covers again. Kind of hard to do on a CD.
Right. Is there going to be a tour?
I'm working on that right now. I just did a couple of dates. I just got off the road with the Stones. I did Jimmy Fallon, and then I did a show the next day at the Highline Ballroom. And I did another date in New Jersey in Asbury Park. And then the next day, I got on a plane and I went to Muskoka, Canada. It's about 2.5 hours north of Toronto. I go there every year to do a music camp for kids, Camp IMC. It's a rock camp for kids, and I do that every year, and I love doing that, so I didn't want to miss it. I know I got a lot of stuff on my plate, but I got to take time out for the kids. So,
do you have a favorite experience from being at that camp?
Every morning, I have the whole camp. Whether they're singing, whether they take the vocal master class or not. Every morning at 8 o'clock, I got them in a hangar, warming them up. They do a vocal warm-up every morning, and that's one of the highlights. Another highlight is having the kids, it's a rock camp, and I'm trying to give them pointers on how to sing together, how to blend. And I had a wonderful experience where I took all the kids that signed up for the masterclass, and I turned them into a gospel choir. And it was incredible. I was showing them a song, and the staff people, the people who run the camp, came running in, and I looked and I'm like, "Did something happen? What's wrong? Why are you here?" And the woman said, "In all the years of this camp, we have never heard anything like this come out of this room." And I'm like, "Is that good?" She said, "Bernard, it's incredible." So, camp is over now, so it's back to Bulla business.
Cool. And getting some more tour dates.
Yes, ma'am.
We certainly hope the tour will bring you to the Lehigh Valley.
Me too.
We're not far from New York.
Yeah, I know. I hope I can get there more sooner than later. As long as I get there, I would really like to do that.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon, and best of luck to you in all ways.
Taya, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'm so glad you liked the record, and I hope everybody likes the record. Like I said, there's something on the record for everybody.